Our first scripture reading is coming from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 7 through 14. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. They shall, the young women, rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. Our second scripture reading is coming from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. The reading from the gospel this morning is from the gospel of John, is chapter 1, verse 1, and then jumping to verses 10 through 18. Thus reads the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And the law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise be to God indeed. Praise be to God. This morning, we have the passage that I think is wonderful, that we actually begin with this powerful passage from the Gospel of John. We preach from this passage a few weeks ago, a little bit different from what we're saying today, of course, but a similar reading from the first chapter of John. It is, to me, it's a wonderful thing. We're coming back to this chapter to start the first Sunday of the year with this wonderful, powerful passage where God is indeed speaking to us about the fact of how God came to be among us. We are told, of course, in this passage that God is indeed in our midst, and that's the wonderful message of this passage, at least part of it, right? It's not the whole thing, but it's part of that wonderful thing that we hear from this passage, is that God is present and that God is among us. God has come to be among us. This passage indeed is a wonderful narrative about what God is doing in the world and what God has done in the world and what God will continue to do in the world through the work of Jesus Christ. This narrative is at least divided in five sections in this chapter. And of course, is the first one is the one where the Word of God becomes part of the reality of the world in which we live. It's an annunciation of the fact that this is a new beginning, a new creation, and we spoke about that a few weeks ago. So we find that this is the first section of this chapter is speaking about that reality. The Word of God has become flesh and is indeed among us. The Word of God is the Word of creation, is the Word that is bringing a new creation. And we spoke about that also some weeks ago when we spoke about the fact that the word that is used here in Greek is the same word that is used in the Greek Septuagint of the Hebrew Bible, which speaks to us about the new creation. Something new is God doing at this time, and it's just been expressed in this passage so powerfully. The next section of this wonderful chapter has to do with the word of John, the witness of John, the word that John is bringing to the world to give a witness to the one who's coming, the one who he is announcing. The next one, of course, is the word of the world, how the Word of God has come to be in the world, and how the Word of God indeed has come to transform the world in which we live. And the last section, the last verses in this chapter that speaks indeed to the Word that is now in our community, that is now in our midst. Isn't this a wonderful beginning? Isn't this a wonderful way to start the new year? Being reminded that God is indeed in our midst, that God has been doing some things for a long time, and we are just coming to this passage to be reminded of this work of God in our midst. And so with that in mind, my brothers and sisters, would you please join me in a word of prayer? Blessed God, we give you thanks indeed for your word. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the word we read in Scripture. And indeed, we give you thanks for the word that has come to be among us. We pray, Lord, indeed, that you open our hearts, our minds, and our understanding to receive your word, that you will open our hearts and minds, Lord, so we may come to understand and comprehend your word in our lives and how to live, O God, as faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Blessed God, to you we pray in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. Amen and amen. Indeed, as we begin, of course, as I said earlier, this is a wonderful way to start the new year. Being reminded that God is in our midst, that God actually decided to come to be in our midst. I want to highlight for you some of the things that happen in this chapter because I think that it's important for us to realize how powerful this passage is. As you can imagine, this chapter, which is the first chapter of the Gospel of John, does not start or begins as the other Gospels we have. In each of the other Gospels, in one way or the other, a short or a long version, you have the story of Jesus' birth. But here we don't have the story of Jesus' birth. Here we have the story of the God of the universe who have come to bring something new into our midst. The God of the universe that is presented to us in the Gospel of John, that is actually describing for us the fact that he is here doing something special. That this God not only is doing something special that you probably haven't noticed, but that this God actually came to pitch his tent among us, came to dwell among us. And that, my brothers and sisters, is an amazing story just by itself, right? God has come to pitch his tent among us, in this world, in this community, among the good things and among the bad things that happen in the world. God is not pitching his tent just on the nice things that happen in society, right? And the nice things that happen in the world. God has actually come to pitch his tent among us in the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now that is an amazing good news that of what God is doing, what God has done, and what God continues to do. But just in case if that was not enough for us to be happy about and to be joyful with the idea that God is in our midst and that God has decided to pitch his tent among us, we are told on top of this, of course, that the word, the Logos, came to be among God's people. And we're told that God's people did not recognize him. As a matter of fact, that God's people actually rejected him. And so, we're told from those verses 11 through 13 that God actually then, of course, opening the mystery of God and the mystery of God that Paul speaks about in his letters. And we now hear that the mystery of God has been revealed from God, that God is welcoming everyone into the family. And we hear that here in this gospel. In the Gospel of John, in the story of this new creation that God is doing in our midst. Remember, this is in the first century towards the early second century of the Christian era. We hear that indeed God has opened the doors for everyone to come in. And I know you've heard me say this before, because we speak about this all the time, about the fact that how God has welcomed us into God's family, into God's household. But here again we find that, just in case if we had any doubts, we who were not supposed to be part of the people of God, in this story we're told that the new creation, the new thing that God is doing, this new beginning that God has started through Jesus Christ, that we are finding, of course, that we are also welcome into the midst because He has given us the power to be called children of God for those of us who believe. For you see, God's people rejected the word, but those who believe, we're told, are then, of course, welcome into the family of God. So that everyone who believes, we're told, everyone who believes becomes part of the family of God. So you and I, we have been welcomed into the family. You and I have been received into the family of God, into the household of God. And we have been given this wonderful opportunity to start living the way that God desires for us as human beings. For some people, of course, this idea is a little bit challenging. For you see, part of the challenge that we find in the story is that we are told that we, of course, are with Christ, that we are with the Word of God, that we are with the Logos of God, right? That we're part of this community, and that it is through Jesus, it's through the Word that we come to know who God is. Amen? It is through God's, it's through the Word of God, through the Logos, that we come to know who God is. And the only way we know who God is and how God is by actually coming to a relationship with the Logos. And we have been told that the Logos is none other than Jesus. So to be able to know who God is, to be able to know God, we need to know Jesus. If we don't know Jesus, you cannot get to know who God is. For you see, Jesus, for us, according to the Gospel of John, Jesus is the full revelation of God. In Jesus, we receive God's full revelation. And it's an important thing to understand because, you see, it's not that this is a philosophical issue. This is not a philosophical thing. This is not a matter of scientific enterprise to understand and comprehend what it means to understand the mind of God. Actually, this is the wonderful thing about this revelation, which is that by knowing who Jesus is, by living the way of Jesus, by following Jesus and living the way of Jesus, then we come to know who God is, and we come to understand who this God is and what this God wants from us. So if we don't get to know Jesus, then we don't get to know who God is. And we miss the boat. And in this story, of course, we're told that we who have come to believe in Jesus, we who have come to follow Jesus, we are pilgrims in this world. See, because we don't belong in this world, we're told. But I need you to understand, for you see, the Word of God, or the Logos, did not belong to the world, but He came to pitch His tent among us. Amen? So even though He did not belong here, even though He was above this world, He decided to come to pitch a tent among us. So if we know this Jesus, and we know and we want to imitate this Jesus, then it means we also want to pitch our tent with our rest of the people around us. So we want to be in this community as part of a community, not simply as pilgrims who are here waiting to get to someplace else that is better than this place. And so we're here waiting for that moment in which we will be moving on to the next best place. Here, the difference is that we're not moving into the next place. Here, the important thing is that we are imitating Jesus by committing ourselves to live in relationship with God and in relationship with each other. See, we who have been following Jesus, we who want to follow Jesus, we need to understand that the only way to follow Jesus is actually by doing what He did. By pitching our tents also in this world. By sharing with this world the grace of God. By sharing with this world the blessings of God, And therefore, by sharing with this world the transformation that comes from the experience of the divine in each and everyone's lives, you and I, my brothers and sisters, we are pilgrims in this land, we have been told. As a matter of fact, we find in the letter 1 Peter, we find this wonderful passage that highlights this for us. Dear friends, says Peter, I urge you as foreigners and exiles, ergo pilgrims, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the nations that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. That is what pilgrims do. Pilgrims who live in this world that God has created, that God has sent us to be a witness to. We come to be in this place where God is, for God has come to be among us. And this God has called us to also realize that we are here together, that we have a work to do, and that we are indeed called to show our good deeds that will glorify God. You know, there is a wonderful story in this. Let me just conclude with this. It's a wonderful book that was written a few centuries ago. And probably, you know, a lot of you have heard about it. It is called The Pilgrim's Progress. And The Pilgrim's Progress was written by John Bunyan. Again, this was in the 17th century. The 15th century. A little bit of a challenge with my numbers and historical numbers. And this was the story that he wrote, of course, with the idea of showing the importance and the challenge that Christians confront in their lives as they live their lives in this world. For some of you, probably have seen the movie. There is a movie that actually came out with this story. The cartoons have come out with the same story. It's a wonderful story, perhaps one of the most famous allegories of the Christian church that has been written in the English language, and it has been translated to countless of other languages in the world. So the story presents to us the challenges of what it means to live a Christian life in the world. And it's important to understand that Brother Bunyan wrote this book while he was in prison during the reign of Charles II. And he was in prison because, as a Puritan, he was doing religious things that were not approved by the institutional church, by the Church of England. And as such, he ended up in prison because he believed that it was important to follow his faith and to follow what God has been calling him to do and the way that God has called him to live his life as a Christian. And so he was persecuted, and so it was many of the people who were part of his religious group in England. Now, you probably have heard the story, but this is where the Pilgrim's Progress comes from, in the idea of who we are as God's people. We are indeed a pilgrim people. We have come to be a people who live in this world and work in this world and who are committed to God in this world because we are committed to witness to God in this world. And although we know that our citizenship is in the kingdom of God, but God has called us to live right here, right now. Not tomorrow, not over there, but right here, right now. And at this point in our nation, in this country, I think we have even more to do as a people, as God's people. Let me rephrase that. As God's people, we have much more to do as a people who know Him, as a people who know who Jesus is, as a people who know who God is, because we have received a revelation from God through Jesus Christ. And we have then something to do and something to give to the world in which we live, you and I have today especially a great responsibility to be the people who bring a message of salvation to the world. You and I, we have the great responsibility to bring this message of great joy that has come to the world. You and I who have received, who have believed in Jesus, we have a great responsibility to also bring the message, that message of transformation that Jesus brings to the world. The word in this text is the word that we have received from God. Jesus is that word. Jesus, the one who reveals the nature of God, the character of God, has told us that he has pitched his tent among us, not in heaven, but among us, to be among us, to love among us, to transform the world that is our world. You and I, we have been called to this glorious journey to walk with Jesus. To walk with Jesus as Jesus walked on this earth. Amen.